You're tuned in to the Kojo Nam, the show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, we'll hear how one local writer drew from his childhood in Maryland to write a series of short stories. But first, with a $275 million budget shortfall, no idea seems to be too small for saving Metro. But one proposal that's still just a proposal is to close low-performing Metro stations during off-peak hours. That idea is raising concern from residents who fear it will leave the region's African-American neighborhoods with far fewer transit options than the rest of the city. This is a conversation you can join now by calling 800-433-8850. Would you support closing the least busy Metro stops during off-peak hours? If not, what cost-cutting proposals would you support? 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org. or shoot us a tweet at Kojo Show. Joining me in studio is Kristen Capps. He's a staff writer at CityLab. Kristen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kojo.
Can you start us off by explaining what ideas WMATA has been proposing recently and why?
Sure. So to make up for the budget shortfall, they've talked about doing a number of things. One is to raise the cost of taking Metro, looking at increasing, you know, fare hikes and things like that. The other one is service cuts, and this is the trickiest proposal that they've got in mind is to, as you mentioned, cut off-peak hours for 20 different Metro stations, more than half of which are east of the river. So you're talking about cutting off-peak service for every station in Ward 7, stations in PG County, and stations in Ward 8.
Did Metro survey riders on any of these proposals or did they do research on which proposals would cut the most costs?
They did look at the membership figures. So they're looking at cutting service to stations that are considered to be the least used and perhaps the least efficient. But I'm not sure that that actually saves that much money to go in and shut those stations for that much time. The numbers aren't super detailed on this budget proposal, so we don't totally know exactly how much they stand to save yet.
For the proposal we're focusing on today, shuttering stations with low ridership during off-peak hours, Metro apparently did look at some data to determine the stations that qualified. But I've been seeing that at a station like Minnesota Avenue, midday ridership exceeds the PM rush hour.
Yes, that's right. When at stations in especially east of the river, you do see a lot more off-peak ridership, which reflects the needs of the community, whether that's to get to jobs that aren't necessarily traditionally 9-to-5 jobs or for childcare, for any kind of need you'd want. It just happens that off-peak is a bigger share at a station like Benning Road than it is at Metro Center.
How does this idea seem to unfairly target the poor?
Well, given that half of these stations are in predominantly minority and low-income communities, they're going to be affected more by off-peak closures. And if they, you know, those the communities that really depend on Metrobus and Metro to get around, who aren't just able to hop into an Uber for convenience sake, aren't going to have a lot of other great options, especially looking at some of the orange and blue line stations running through Ward 7 in PG County. When you close Minnesota Avenue during off-peak hours, then you're going to put everyone on the X2 bus. That's the only way to get into the city. That's already the most crowded bus. Everyone loves the X2 bus, but it can't take more passengers.
800-433-8850. Is your Metro station at risk of service cuts? Give us a call, 800-433-8850. Also joining me in studio is Candace Rett. She is a resident of Eastland Gardens in Ward 7. Candace Rett, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo.
How long have you been riding Metro? What's your commute and how has it changed over the years?
And so I used to be a driver. And about 3 years ago when my daughter started middle school, we decided we would reduce our carbon footprint. We would begin to take public transportation. So we rode from Minnesota Avenue. I would take her to Stadium Armory, where she would catch the bus. I would continue on down to Judiciary Square, where I work. So this started for us about 3 years ago. We became very avid riders and really enjoyed not being in the rat race of the daily commute in the cars. The public transportation was great for us. It was economical. And for me, I also was able to get benefits from my job for that. So that really was a benefit.
How has it changed since then?
Well, it's funny Kristen would mention the X2 because when the surge took place and Metro kept telling people to find different avenues to get to work, I had to find a different avenue, and it was the X2. It has increased my time that it takes me to get to work now. Usually it was about 27 minutes on the Metro. It's now about 45 minutes to an hour because I have to ride the X2 and then walk about 4 to 5 blocks to my job from there. So it's been an increase for me all the way around.
We asked our Twitter followers if off-hour station cuts would unfairly target the poor. One follower, Peter, wrote, "The answer is yes. Off-hours is defined to explicitly serve 9-to-5 workers, which leaves so many high and dry." Also joining me in studio is Justin Leaney. He is an advisory neighborhood commissioner in Ward 7. Justin, thank you for joining us. What was your reaction when you saw this first, when you first saw the map of proposed metro stations or metro stops to close during off hours? What was your reaction?
I was shocked, truth be told. I heard about the proposal or the tentative proposal,
right.
And I looked it up and found the budget report, and my jaw hit the floor. If you look at one of these demographic maps of Washington, D.C., and overlay it with these station closures, there is a complete correlation. I couldn't believe that anyone in WMATA seriously looked at this, reality checked it, and then put it out to the public.
Well, we talked about the Minnesota Avenue station that had more riders in the midday period than during rush hour, but why do you think, in general, metro stations in Ward 7 have lower rider numbers during off-peak hours?
Well, one of the things that's happened in the last 5 to 10 years since the Red Line crash and this round of work is that our stations have had excessive levels of closures and service disruptions. I did some research recently and found that our Orange Line stations, such as Minnesota Avenue, were amongst the most likely to be disrupted. Some writers at Greater Washington in 2013 did a survey of the work and found that these stations were the second most frequently disrupted stations. Another writer in 2015 found that this was the most commonly disrupted station. So the quality of service has really suffered, and it's pushed down the ridership. We've had a 32% decline at Minnesota Avenue ridership, mostly because of disruptions. And conditions of the station have been rather poor until recently. Following my last time on here, we've built a good partnership with Corbett Price on the board and have turned some things around. But before that, it didn't seem like there was any end in sight to these disruptions.
You organized your whole life around Metro, did you not?
Yes. Ever since I moved to the D.C. area about 10 years ago now, I have been an avid Metro rider. I've ridden it to when I was at school at American University. I've ridden it to my work downtown at the Sociological Association. I bought a house to take advantage of a transit-oriented community, which is up and coming in Ward 7.
Justin Leaney, he is an advisory neighborhood commissioner in Ward 7. We're talking about some proposed metro service cuts, which are at this point still proposals. He joins us in studio along with Kristen Capps, who is a staff writer at City Lab, and Candace Rett, who is a resident of Eastland Gardens in Ward 7. You two can join the conversation by calling 800-433-8850 or by sending us an email to kojo@wmu.org. Candace, the proposed station closures are for off-peak hours, which may not interfere with your schedule that much, but you say you're not just in this for yourself.
No, I'm not, because this is a community issue. And so while for me, I have other options, I had those options prior to changing, and I can go back to those if I need to. So this is about coming together as a community to make sure those who don't have options, who can't just catch an Uber, who can't make changes to their schedule, who need reliable public transportation, that they have that available to them just like everyone else does.
Well, we got an email from Griff in Alexandria who says, why do we ever discuss cutting costs for Metro? It's a public service. We never talk about cutting costs for road maintenance, nor about roads paying for themselves. Metro needs more funding, not cost cutting. I'd like to hear from you, Justin, about, even if you don't like this proposal, there's still the issue of Metro's budget shortfall. If not off-hour station closures, what would you be open to in terms of other proposals? Maybe rate hikes?
Right. I believe that Metro's financial and economic troubles are real and are very serious. And in the list of proposals that they put out for their budget committee, they did have some things in there that were painful but bearable. For example, raising fares on bus lines, raising fares on Metro Rail. I mean, if we're talking about some austerity measures here, these are painful, but certainly not comparable to losing access to the rest of D.C. In addition, there's the issue of the fundamental issue of Metro, which is a dedicated source of funding. It seems that it's very difficult for them to do long-term planning around how much money they're going to have in their budget if they have to continuously seek funding from the jurisdictions every year.
Candace, would you be in favor of citywide rate hikes instead of closing the lowest performing stations?
I would be, because it's a shared sacrifice. What we're talking about here with this potential closure would affect a certain portion of the riders, and those are riders east of the river. I think one reason why SafeTrack works, even though people are not happy with it, is because it's shared. It goes all the way across the board. Everybody has to pay the price and you know, will experience, you know, disruptions in service. So I would be open to that. I don't like it, but I would be open to that.
Kristen Cass, we got a tweet from Sanho who says, I'm in favor of things that will slow this tsunami of gentrification, but this is just discriminatory and unfair. Urbanists argue that building transit will build density, but by putting a proposal like this on the table, is Metro opening itself up to criticism of its infrastructure does not improve neighborhoods the way urbanists promised that it will?
Well, Kojo, I think they're opening themselves up to a lot worse. This seems like it could easily violate Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, and I'd expect the Department of Justice to open an investigation right away if Metro got serious about this proposal, which leads me to believe that they're just kind of softening the ground for things like benefits cuts for workers, which are a little bit more popular among riders because people are frustrated with Metro and think that the service is bad. But cutting benefits to workers hurts people. It hurts people who live in the city. And fare hikes, especially annual fare hikes, is such an unpopular pill for people to swallow that you come out with this even worse suggestion.
Doesn't Metro have to meet a standard set by Title VII of the Civil Rights Act before it can implement these proposals? I'd read that someplace.
I'm not completely sure exactly how they would implement this idea, but they have a number of Civil Rights Act hurdles to overcome, which leads me to believe that this won't be the solution that Metro winds up going with.
We got an email from Nikki who says, instead of cutting those stations that are least used, can they look at closing stations that may be close to one another? For example, Brookland, Rhode Island, Noma. Union stations are very close together. Close the Rhode Island station. Those that need that station can go to Brookland or Noma, which aren't greatly out of the way, or College Park Greenbelt are very close to each other. Also close one of them during the non-peak hours. Just a thought. What do you think of that thought, Candace Redd?
This was something that we had talked about. Justin and I were talking about that is an option, because if the stations are close enough for people to be able to walk, Unlike what we have at East of the River, I think, Justin, what you said was they're a mile apart and they're not walkable for stations that are east of the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last night I was reviewing and preparing for this presentation, and I measured out on Google Maps the distance between these stations, and the distance between Minnesota Avenue and Deanwood is exactly 1 mile, but to walk between those stations is much, much longer.
Exactly.
The distance between Benning Road and Capitol Heights is a mile and a third. Again, not a very good walkable distance between the both of them, whereas if you go west of the river in a lot of places, you're looking at stations being a half mile from each other.
And this question for each of you, does this proposal, if it comes into existence, have the can it conceivably exacerbate the inequality you believe already exists east of the river, Kristen?
Well, certainly. It's an enormous cost for people. Transportation is an enormous cost for everyone, but for people whose incomes are lower, it becomes a bigger part of their budget and of their life and figuring out how to live. Metro's own data show that their bus ridership is predominantly lower income individuals. Metro knows who these passengers are that would be disproportionately affected, which is the important thing to remember here. I mean, the other half of the stations are largely in the western D.C. area. There several Silver Line stations are on this targeted list of off-peak closures. But the disproportionate effect is for people who have less to take away anything from them just puts them that much further behind.
Candace Rutt.
I'm sorry.
The question is, does this proposal, in your view, exacerbate the inequality that you believe already exists east of the river?
Yes. Because I'll just take my my own example. It was an opportunity to, as I said, take public transportation, and with the lack of maintenance that we had at the station, and then we would have the closures that Justin talked about earlier, then to the surge, what it did for me was it kept me off of the Metro. It made me look for other alternatives. And so I think if they keep down this line, what they end up doing is exacerbating a problem that continues to take ridership down. What that does in turn is it allows them to make the case that they are making that ridership is low. Ridership is low because you keep exacerbating a problem instead of fixing a problem.
Justin Laney.
So the main issue here is that transportation access is opportunity. And off-peak service cuts like what are being tossed around here, what are being tossed around late-night service, are body blows to the economy of this community and to the livelihoods of people who live in it. For a lot of parts of town, late-night service, off-peak service are luxuries. People go to the bar, people go to shows, participate in the social life of the district. But in my community, a lot of my residents are the ones who are going to work to make these things happen. On top of that, we have in Ward 7 a very high rate of homeownership. Many people don't realize this, but many of our homeowners have owned their homes for generations. Many are seniors. And taking away reliable transportation service will hurt their investments, will hurt the value of their homes. Moreover, we're seeing some green shoots of retail development coming up in Ward 7, largely based around these metro stations. If we aren't serious about providing transportation service, we'll snuff them right out. People have been working for these projects for years, decades in some cases.
We got a tweet from Shizgris who says, the idea is unconscionable. This idea is a non-starter. Metro must improve quality and attract ridership. This idea would discourage ridership during peak hours. The long-term impact is worse than the savings. When would we expect to know what Metro is likely to do, Kristen Gaps?
I believe it's early next year. But if you look at their kind of detailed budget proposals, there are a few dates. November is an important deadline. But the things they're discussing are kind of going to be perpetual change. Annual fare hikes is one of the suggestions that I think that we should take seriously and is very unappetizing for passengers of Metro who are very dissatisfied with the product. The idea of the cost going up every single year is something that we're going to be discussing, I think, around the clock.
Is Metro likely to have hearings on this proposal, do you know?
I'm not aware yet.
Because I'm pretty sure that both Justin and Candace would love the opportunity to participate in hearings about this.
Metro says themselves in the proposal that this is something that service cuts are the least acceptable among passengers. So Metro knows that this is an idea that people are going to have a lot of problems with.
We'll have to see what happens. Kristen Capps is a staff writer at City Lab. Kristen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kojo.
Candace Rett is a resident of Eastland Gardens in Ward 7. Candace, thank you for joining us. Good luck on your commute.
Thank you very much.
Justin Leaney is an advisory neighborhood commissioner in Ward 7. Justin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kojo.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear how one local writer drew from his childhood in Maryland to write a series of short stories. I'm Kojo Nandi.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.